Blog Talk Radio.
People make the world go round.
I'm your host, R. Lee Gordon, and tonight we're going to be talking with Professor Blackburn of Niagara University about his upcoming Freedom Trail Festival that takes place in Niagara Falls. And it's kind of interesting, Professor, that when I think of Niagara Falls, I think of people going to that destination point or that vacation spot for honeymoons, and I think of fools jumping over the falls in barrels. But obviously, there is so much more to Niagara Falls that readily meets our eyes and minds. And I'd like you, if you'd be so kind, to share with our listeners tonight a little bit more about the Freedom Trail Festival that's taking place next month. And it sounds like a wonderful cultural experience.
Yes, Freedom Trail Festival. This will be actually our 11th festival, and the festival was actually born from a concept of an organization in Niagara Falls called the Main Street Business and Professional Association. They wanted to do some type of activity on Main Street in a particularly predominantly African descendant community in Niagara Falls, and they wanted to do an activity which engaged them. At the same time, I was interested in doing some activities with Niagara residents, but through Niagara University and the office that I worked through, which was the Office of Multicultural and International Student Affairs. It's actually the same name of the office today, and I direct that office. As far as being a professor, I teach a course, an intro to college course, but mainly my job with the university is doing student programming. But my personal belief has always been that a institution of higher education does have a responsibility to its surrounding community. I was also always taught that education is not education unless it actually affects the people surrounding you. So I wanted to make sure that I was living up to those standards that I was taught by older educators and different elders within the community that I was exposed to growing up. So what I did find out was that Harriet Tubman crossed the what was at the time the suspension bridge, and the remnants of that bridge are exactly right next to the Whirlpool Bridge in Niagara Falls, which is just about a block away from Main Street in Niagara Falls, and thought it might be a good idea that we could actually fulfill the purpose of both of our organizations and the Main Street Business and Professional Association wanting to do that kind of activity on Main Street in Niagara Falls. And what I figured, we could actually do the festival right there on Main Street, and at the beginning of the festival, do a ceremonial walk to the bridge and across the bridge to Canada, and then come back and start the festival. We started the festival in 2000, and then now in since 9/11 had taken place, there were some, you know, a lot of issues sometimes with crossing the bridge. At certain times, we would go halfway to the bridge, look over, and kind of get the feel, do a reenactment, and come over and start the festival. So periodically, we will do the march to the bridge, but the idea is really to celebrate the history of the Western New York region in relation to the Underground Railroad.
Well, that's fascinating, and it sounds like this is an event that touches upon not only the rich history of the Underground Railroad movement, if you will, but it also speaks to, as you suggested, both an opportunity for the college to get involved in the community, the business community to work with the college on this event, and also to celebrate the diversity that is the Niagara Falls area. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Focus also is to look at what the intention of the Underground Railroad was and basically apply it to today as well. I think celebration is great. However, sometimes celebration without focus,
or
you
purpose.
It may not serve its fullest value, may not reach as far as it can. So the idea is to be able to say, take a look at, all right, what are some of the organizations and opportunities that are in our region, and let's, you know, also give them a chance to be able to share what they have available to, you know, to help people in their quest for perhaps financial freedom, mm-hmm. education, you know, all of these different things. So within the festival itself, what we actually try to do is to edutain or edutainment. And mm-hmm. part of a large part of the festival, there are performances throughout the day. It's just a one-day festival, and it's a very concise festival. But during the festival, we have performances continuously going on from a stage. These performances will include all types of music and also historical reenactments relating to the Underground Railroad. So each year we have numerous actors that come through and do skits and presentations in relation to the Underground Railroad. We'll have poetry, singing. We'll have all different types of music, jazz, hip-hop music that relates to all of these things. We try to tie into the Underground Railroad. In between the events, or in between the performances, we try to give you tidbits of history and information. Community organizations set up tables as well as historians, where they could present information. There's also food vendors, as well as people who sell arts and other materials in relation to the Underground Railroad. And just sometimes it's local people who have businesses and want to try to sell some items and artistic things. We also have what we regularly do, Hoops for History event, where students will answer questions related to the Underground Railroad. And what they will receive for each question is an opportunity to shoot baskets for back-to-school prizes. So in that situation, pretty much everybody wins. Well, and we try to get the kids involved in the history piece, but also give them rewards such as different back-to-school items they'll need right in September.
Well, it sounds like this is a wonderful community cultural event. Talk to us a little bit, for those who don't know much about the Niagara Falls area and community, talk a little bit about the demographic composition, if you would. And I'd like to also ask you, how has this event grown in the past 11 years? It may have started out with one particular theme or one particular goal, but I'd like to know how it's been received by the community in Niagara Falls as well, and what changes you've made based on feedback and the successes or even the less than successful events that you've done.
Okay. Niagara Falls, in relation to, I'm just going to be completely honest with you, in studying and listening, researching, and different things, I'm not always a fan of statistical information, I'll put it to you that way. So
right.
Niagara Falls, New York is like any other, pretty much any other region of our country. It's a predominantly white area, although we do have a reasonably sized black and Latino population as well. As and Buffalo is a lot more diverse at the same time, you know, very similar to other areas. And I know it may fluctuate, but, you know, if you go to Richmond, Virginia, or D.C., where you're bordering 50 and 60% of a people of color population, is not in that that area. It's definitely a lot less in percentage. In relation to the event itself, Niagara Falls is a pretty much is a very destitute area that boasted, like many other Rust Belt cities, and I'm not saying that it might fall into the same characteristics as those cities, but we have many examples throughout the United States of cities that were once great and major cities that are now remnants of what they were in the past, and that is such as Niagara Falls. The difference between Niagara Falls and other cities is that because of the Niagara Falls tourist attraction, which you spoke of in your introduction, there are people who consistently come to the area. But what the interest has been is to try to develop a world-class event. And I've been able to go to different festivals throughout the country, and one in particular that struck me was the Folk Life Festival, which takes place in Seattle, and I believe it takes place each year around May. I had a chance, or early June, and what I was trying to do was basically to look at how do you maintain a focus, you know, in relation to what are you trying to accomplish with this event, but at the same time growing the number, and I think quality over quantity all of the time. So some of the suggestions I've had for people was to, you know, in a lot of cases, to do things that drew big crowds, you know. In some cases, they were interested in, oh, you know, there are different traveling carnivals and different things where you could get rides and different things and attractions, which to me, it has its place, but at the same time, if you can't do it in a way where it still allows the attendees to learn, then, you know, it's not worth it. And to me, one of the main goals was that when people leave away from this festival, they've been presented a large amount of opportunities to learn something. You could, you know, lead a horse to water. You can't make him drink, but at the same time, you could give him a lot of variety in relation to the water where he may, you know, be a lot more willing to take a drink, which, you know, something that's necessary for this horse to survive. Well, as far as with people, you know, you want to make things as interesting as possible. So I ask people who perform, people who have creative ideas, let's find a way to do it. Initially, our festival for the first 9 years was at the same location, and it happened to be in front of a senior citizen housing complex called Robo Towers, which operated through Niagara Falls Housing Authority. Well, because we have a number of seniors who like bingo, we had one of our friends of the university. She was also a graduate of the university, and her sons and, you know, different people in her family take part in activities and different things with the university. And she said, you know, well, I'm available. And she talked about the possibility of organizing a game or converting a game that she had, which was bingo, and making it a history-related bingo game,
mm-hmm.
which actually dealt Underground Railroad bingo, in which we would give away prizes. So really adapting and creating different ways to, you know, to interpret this history, this broad history, for different people.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say that probably some of the, you know, more tough years were actually trying to, you know, iron out the kinks in relations to, you know, how do you keep, you know, people happy when you're actually hoping that the vendors are able to, you know, reap the benefits of coming out, and that, you know, that this actually adds to the festival itself. Not that it's the focus, but at the same time, when people come to a festival, they expect to have these certain things. So trying to make sure we place people in the right locations and those different things.
How many people do you draw on average each year to the festival? Which I just wanted
in the course of the day, we expect to usually draw like between like 1,500 and 2,500 people.
Okay.
So
and
it's
this
smaller.
Takes place
it's a,
Saturday.
It's, say it one more time.
This takes place on Saturday, September 18th.
Right. That is correct.
And,
Saturday, September 18th.
Right, and you're at the Niagara Falls Main Library.
That's correct.
1425 Main Street in Niagara Falls. If anybody wants to Google search that address and find how to directly get there. And where can people find more information about this wonderful event? Do you have a website, or is there any way that they can learn more about this wonderful event and hopefully come and support it?
Yes, if people wanted to, you could definitely call 716-286-8405, and then also you could also email me at freedomtrailfestival@gmail.com. That's freedomtrailfestival@gmail.com.
Okay, and that's great. That's great information, and we'll give it again at the end of the show. I just want to make sure people have the opportunity to catch that, and again, if they want more information, to get that. We talk about the fact that one important aspect of the Freedom Trail Festival is in remembrance and celebration of the underground movement that took place in that particular area of the country. And at the same time, you mentioned that it's also opportunity for your college. Is it Niagara State University?
It's actually Niagara University. It's not a state.
Get back. Right. Okay. Right. Niagara University. My bad. Niagara University to give back to the community at large, and in many ways support the business community, the craft community in the Niagara Falls area. And how has it been received by not only the college in terms of what the college actually invests in this event and invests in supporting you in this event, but how has it also been embraced by the business community and the craft and vendors and artists community in and around your area?
Mm-hmm. To be completely honest with you, I would say I think that growth is continually taking place in relation to how people receive it and the importance of the event. The people that attend the event and the regular people who look forward to the event, who help to put the event together and who take part, this goes all the way from volunteers to specific vendors. It's really a certain spirit that it's really hard to kind of to put your finger on, but it is a powerful thing that allows and this spirit that I'm talking about kind of creates a nice family atmosphere where people are comfortable, people are having fun, and people from different communities and backgrounds can come together and be in one place, relax. And I think to me that's the greatest benefit you have when trying to create a positive learning environment. You know,
right.
It allows
that,
people to put their hair, let their hair down, and learn about each other.
And let's talk a little bit about the historical significance of this event as it relates to the Underground Railroad movement that passed through Niagara Falls. What would you like to share with our audience about the history of the Underground Railroad movement in this area? Let's talk about Harriet Tubman a little bit, and what the community and children who are part of this event learn through this event.
One of the things I like to try to draw and try to bring around are people, you know, who could give information to help people to kind of track their history. The biggest and the most interesting thing to me about Harriet Tubman is this particular fact. This is a lady who had a very rough life early on. At one time it was said that she was nearly beat to death by her master, where she had, you know, a deadly gash in her head for work that she either refused to do or didn't do properly. In any case, she felt the need to escape, you know, not only out of ambition to see another life, but really to survive.
Mm.
But after escaping, Harriet Tubman actually went back in an attempt to free the rest of her family, all right? And, you know, in many cases you can make it very noble and say she just randomly went back and just tried to go back and help as many people. But her personal goal, from at least certain researchers' point of view, was that she was going to free her family, you know? And looking at our own family histories, there are different things that we have a chance to learn about ourselves, to learn about how did we get in this region of the country, how did we develop certain characteristics, and we could look at long-term and short-term. So what we try to do is try to find different ways for different people who have background on this to be able to share information with people. As far as the Niagara region, Niagara wasn't the only area that people, you know, crossed into freedom and crossed into Canada, but it was one of the areas. There's also debate in this region about, you know, was it, you know, did it take place right here? Could it have been in other areas of this region? And those are things, you know, I don't necessarily like to debate, but to look at the larger picture and to be able to see, wow, there were people who made it to this area from the south and were able to cross over. Now, according to Frederick Douglass's newspaper, the North Star, there were only there's a location in the south as well as a location in the north that Harriet Tubman identified where she was when she spoke of crossing over the bridge into freedom, that she could hear the falls, you know, off in a distance, and that pinpointed her to this area. And because of the secrecy of it, of the movement, she wasn't actually able to identify other areas, but we were fortunate that she actually could identify this area.
Very, very interesting. And you mentioned that you have historical reenactments at the event for the community, and specifically,
yes,
I'm assuming,
right,
for
event.
You. Would you like to talk a little bit more about some of those reenactments that are displayed at the event?
Well, in detail, we basically identify different actors who, you know, who have that particular interest and focus, and, you know, have a compelling story and a compelling gift and some type of passion about it. One of our regulars is actually a school teacher in Niagara Falls. His name is Mr. Ernest Griffin, and actually, ironically, he was one of my teachers in high school. He was actually a substitute teacher, but he was, you know, pretty much well-rounded in a number of different areas. You know, I can remember him particularly in grammar and speech, you know, sharing different things with us, but he was the type of person who kind of tried to guide some of the younger men, you know, into a higher level of thought. Although, you know, he was familiar with the streets that we came from, he tried to teach us different things. So we try to reach out to those kind of people. There's a young lady named Whitney Walker. She came to Niagara University from North Carolina, and her dream after leaving college was to create a theater company that taught children. She also teaches the deaf students and does different programs with that. Within her curriculum, you know, she explored some other areas and was able to be able to get into sign language and those things. And she also does reenactments, and also she trains children to do some theatrical reenactments. There's also Sister Wanda Strong Howard, who does a lot of ministries in the Western New York region, in locally in Niagara Falls and in Buffalo. And she does a number of different activities in the region. So the type of people that we try to get who actually do these, they carry a story along with them in many cases. And that's not to say we're always, you know, 100% familiar with the story and background of some of the actors that we get. But a lot of times we try to draw people who kind of have a life that kind of supports the work that they have. There's also a lady named Yvonne Harris, who her stage name, they call her Big Mama Boo. And she does a presentation that is very powerful and compelling, but at the same time, when you get a chance to meet her, and or if you have an opportunity to meet, I know I have had an opportunity to go to high school with one of her sons, but I didn't even know this was her son prior to. But what I'm saying is that these people have a background that actually speaks to the cause of the event, and that's the type of thing that we try to carry forward.
Let's just let our listeners know that they're listening to The Antique Show, Preserving Black Literature and History. We are talking with Professor Blackburn of Niagara University about the Freedom Trail Festival, which is a wonderful multicultural event that takes place on Saturday, September 18th in Niagara Falls. If people want more information about the Freedom Trail Festival, they can call 716-286-8405 and give everyone your email address in case they decide to email you, Professor Blackburn.
It will be freedomtrailfestival@gmail.com.
Great. We're going to wrap up the show in a few minutes. One of the things my executive producer, Leslie just Etheridge, mentioned is that there is a tour guide by the name of Leslie Wells, who I'm assuming works out of the Niagara Falls area. Can you share a little bit with our listeners about her and about, I'm assuming, her role in telling people about the Underground Railroad movement in Niagara Falls?
Mm-hmm. Leslie Wells, she is the owner and operator of a company called Niagara Bound Tours. And Leslie has a very powerful tour that she does on the Canadian side. And her story deals more so with once people crossed over into freedom, what took place. What were the stories that actually came from the struggle that was here and then the other side of freedom? You know, so it's a very powerful thing she brings to the table. One of the greatest things about the tour that Leslie does is the fact that Leslie's tour actually takes you to a neighborhood where people cross right over from, and this is on the from Buffalo into Fort Erie, Canada. And in Fort Erie, she can take you to streets in a neighborhood where streets are named after her descendants who came there. And she can point to you, and she does a narrative that comes from her own family story, but creates the picture in a dynamic way that allows you to ride in her family's historical vehicle in order to be able to create a context to be able to see, you know, where did you come from? What are some thoughts that you have to kind of build an idea about, okay, what are the universal links that we have in relation to all of our stories? Now, history is great, you know, but at the same time, I always say that history is not just a good story. It's a roadmap. They say history repeats itself, or history can repeat itself. Positive and negative. So with Leslie, what I would honestly say is that she's brutally honest. She's very blunt in a lot of ways. She doesn't pull a lot of punches, but she's very interested in the tour that she gives. And I do understand that if you could imagine what it would be to be Diana Ross or to be Stevie Wonder, mm-hmm. and to be able to do that song, Clap Your Hands, for 30 and 40 years, to do the same music and to be able to maintain the excitement, it has to be a difficulty. So I'm not taking, I wouldn't take anything away from any other group or organization or activity that relates to this, these tours and tourism in general, but it's interesting to be able to see someone who has been able to maintain an interest, an excitement, a joy in touching the people, a periodic tear that comes to the eye, you know, when because they feel their story, they feel your interest. And basically Leslie usually comes to the festival and she'll set up and provide information, but she's a very strong and powerful people person. I tell Leslie all the time, she may need to, you know, to actually bring or staff her table with someone else and allow her to, you know, roam free through the right. festival. And, you know, she's brought back people. There was a couple of people who attended who I didn't even know were there. And they were all the way, they were from Albany, and they do a Underground Railroad conference up in the Albany area. And they happen to be at the festival. She's met people from far away, and basically, you know, her job at the festival, she's always set up and, you know, present it, but also she, you know, she kind of gets to know the people and creates, you know, new opportunities to be able to share with other people. So that's Leslie Wells. And Leslie actually has also done tours on this side professionally with some other organizations and on her, you know, her side of the border. So if you want somebody, honestly, people who are out there who are really ready and excited for a tour, a powerful tour, a great family tour or something like that, we could, Leslie and I would be able to actually custom tailor a powerful tour that kind of, you know, suited the needs of all members of your family, young and old. And this could be in this region as well as going all the way over to Detroit and the Windsor area. So
well, that's
those are some things that are there. Can I add one more thing?
Yes, please.
You asked a question earlier. Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Earlier, one of the things we did change, we used to do tours right from the festival. The only thing that we found that when we had buses leaving the festival, we actually were taking people away from the event itself.
Right.
So what we try to do is when people express an desire or wanted to take an opportunity to do a tour, we would make specific arrangements for people, you know, at the event to do tours at another time. So that's kind of where
let's put this out to our listeners that this is a wonderful opportunity to not only take part in the Freedom Trail Festival, which again is a wonderful multicultural underground railroad family affair that's
mm-hmm.
taking place on Saturday, September 18th. But
mm-hmm.
this is also an opportunity to take a tour, take a historical tour, learn more about the Underground Railroad movement in this part of the country. And I often suggest to people that while we may pronounce it history, it really is our story. And
mm-hmm.
it's important that we pass down the legacy of our greatness in memory and in honor of those who stand, the shoulders that we stand upon, so that our children can see how great we were and how great they can be.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Blackburn, I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. You've been a wonderful guest, and I'm in Brooklyn, New York now. If I can talk my wife and 2-year-old daughter into coming up, we may just want to try to do so because I've never been to Niagara Falls. And we thank
you
for joining us, and we hope
listen.
That the Freedom Trail Festival is successful this year as well as in future years. Thank you, and God bless.
If you decide to come, let me know.
Okay, I'll keep you posted. Thank you, Professor Blackburn. We appreciate you.
All right, take care.